Distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, friends and enemies.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Flexing comes up with a steal. Ball nearly taken away by Dudley. Curry. From inside the 28-foot line. Does it again.
Just as good a year.
Look up. Oh! You don't like that. You don't like NBA basketball.
I hate you, I don't even know you, and I hate your guts. I hope all the bad things in life happen to you and nobody else.
But you.
That's why no one will remember your name.
I'm not a businessman, I'm a businessman, man.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another beautiful episode of the Couch Sports Podcast. We are on episode 19.
We are live. I'm here. Haven't did a live podcast with my boy since August. What's up, Detroit?
We're live from Detroit, deep in the bowels.
Detroit, what?
How are you enjoying your time here so far?
I'm loving it. I'm a little pissed off because of the current state of the presidential election. No, because of this fucking dude on ESPN who's going in about this whole Richard Sherman and the kicker's wife, and it's stupid. Leave sports. Stop trying to integrate everything. I fucking hate it. They got like some like political advisor on racism to comment on her stupid tweets. Who gives a shit?
They have an advisor on race, and we can't even tell what race this guy is.
Right. He looks like he could be Tiger Woods slightly, like, heterophobic brothers. I don't fucking know shit, man. It's getting annoying. It's this whole PC world we live in. So fucking what? She's defending her husband. I don't care. I don't even care why this is even a topic. Gosh, everything's about fucking race. Like, I don't care what some white lady said about Richard Sherman running into her stupid ass husband.
It doesn't matter what he said.
It doesn't fucking matter. I wish The Rock would just do that one time too.
If you guys don't know, I don't even really know. Hell, I just turned the TV on and saw this shit and automatically didn't care. I don't care who says I should care. I'm not going to care apparently Richard Sherman ran into a kicker and I guess the kicker got hurt. Like, who gives a shit about a kicker? But apparently the woman and the guy, the kicker, owns a farm, and she says something about, you know what happens to a bull on a farm when he acts with too much rage or some bullshit like that, and treat an animal like an animal or something. And of course, those are trigger words. You know, black people gonna go crazy. And
those are nigger words. What?
Right. And she did the typical thing and backtracked, and now it's a big story and blah blah blah. And yeah, after the presidential race, now everybody's all extra hyper vigilant. Everybody's like, you know, oh my god, whatever.
It's typical American propaganda. Remember the whole terrorist alert level red, orange. It's the same thing. I mean, it's just stupid. Like, I didn't, as a black man, I didn't see nothing racially wrong with what she said. I just thought, you know, she was raised on a farm and she's just defending her husband. But they're really going in, and people were saying, oh, like, come on, we have to be for a majority of a race of the majority of the race of black people want equality, which I think is dumb because it shouldn't happen. But if you want equality, you can't get mad when somebody says something about us, whether it has racial undertones or not. We don't know that. We got to stop being so fucking offended by every goddamn thing. It makes us look weak.
Yeah, it makes us look weak and sensitive, and everybody feels like they have to walk on eggshells. And I don't know how many times I see somebody talk shit about another race, and then when a race has something else to say or they want to joke too, then, you know, the first race wants to get offended, and it's all kind of whack, and I'm kind of over it. And I mean, before y'all get into the whole, you think racism is over and the white supremacy? I really don't give a fuck, to be honest. I don't care. I really don't. It doesn't enrich my life. It doesn't add or subtract from it. It really doesn't, because the next topic is going to come up in, I don't know, in a few days, and then you're going to be outraged about that, and it moves on. You know, everything is all this micro anger topics.
You can't end racism. It's never going to end. You shouldn't have to deal with it, but you got to accept the fact that it's not going to end, that some people are just racist. I'm not calling that lady racist because I don't even know her. I don't know her, and I don't care, but it's just like, I look at the movie Tropic Thunder. Robert Downey Jr. played a black man. I thought the shit was funny, and he went through backlash through that. And I'm just like, how many times have we as black people dressed up as white people, and like white women and white girls, or Eddie Murphy? It's just like, it's comedy. Fuck, man. Everybody's acting like a bunch of fucking punks right now with everything.
Hey, you're not allowed to laugh at black people. We suffered.
Gosh, man.
It is what it is. I'm kind of over it. I really don't give a damn. I don't understand why it led SportsCenter. I really don't get it.
It like led. Like,
yeah, I was hella looking to catch up on things because we were out all day sightseeing and touring and things of that nature.
Detroit
and
is nice, y'all.
It is beautiful.
Detroit has a stigma of being fucked up. I mean, you have to look at what happened. 80-90% of this city relied on the auto industry. The auto industry screwed the city over. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, and if at this day and age, I mean, maybe back in the day, people didn't see it coming with the auto industry as far as, being able to, your job being replaceable. But right now, like if you only have one income, don't rely on just one income. You know, like, just don't do it, because when they let you go, then that one income is gone. And, you know, if you got multiple streams of income, you'll be all right. But with that said, if your job looks replaceable, seems replaceable, if you think a robot can probably possibly come in and take your job, or they can ship your job overseas, then you might want to look for something else. Or, I heard you refer to Church's Chicken, if you work at a if you work at a job that you hate,
get 'em.
Why are you there if you're so upset that you have to be there? If you're so upset when customers come in, I'm talking to you, girl, with her giant chest tattoo and her and three buttons open at Church's Chicken across the street from Belle Isle.
I threw the receipt away before we walked into the house. Her name, I think, is like Lanella or Layella.
It really doesn't even matter.
And yeah, she had to.
It's lucky she's getting this shine.
Yeah, it's just.
We the had worst this, customer service ever.
It triggered a good debate in the car ride while we was sightseeing about black people in the work industry, customer service, and just attitude in general. You know, and taking the historic aspect out of it, that's still no white supremacist is forcing you to take that job at Church's Chicken and have an attitude towards your potential customers or clients.
Yeah, because whatever you did in your life to lead you to be working at Church's Chicken at that age with that gigantic mistake of a tattoo on your chest exposed for the world to see,
yeah, it was
behind your bulletproof glass at Church's Chicken.
It was grandma titties, y'all.
if that's what you're going through.
She had the Emancipation Proclamation tattooed on her bust.
Right, it was a long ass sentence. I'm just saying it. I'm just saying if you're at a job that you hate that damn much, if you're at a job you hate that damn much and you don't want to be there and you hate the sight of seeing customers, it's time to switch jobs. It just is. It just is. No ifs, ands, or buts. I don't care about what happened in you know, 1858, why somebody's working at Church's Chicken in 2016. I don't. I don't care. If you don't like where you're at, change your circumstance, man. There's no need for this. I don't need bad customer service. I'm already boycotting fast food as it is. And I went in there because Terrell was hungry.
No, that's not the truth. You got to 100% tell the story. I went in there because I was being a fat ass. I am living it up on vacation. I'm eating all the bad shit I ain't supposed to be eating. We just ate
Christmas. Every time I'm in the kitchen, you in the kitchen. In the goddamn refrigerator.
So we saw Church's and what was it? Checkers.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't eat pork or beef, but I'm splurging because I'm on vacation. And I was like, okay, let me try some Church's. I really don't eat Church's. I'm just having a good time and I just want to go in there. And it's funny because it's Church's. It's in the hood. I knew it was going to be fucked up. But, you know, the bathroom, I was not expecting the water to not run in the sink and for there not to be any paper towels or anything. So, yeah. Luckily, I had some soap and I just rubbed it on my hands with some.
Right.
Yeah.
And what those biscuits taste like?
Those biscuits taste like refried dog ass. They were hella, like, you could tell they
were. Biscuits taste like morning breath.
Like, if you get something stuck in your gums for, like, 2 weeks and you finally get it out, that's what it tastes like.
Right.
Oh, man, yeah, but that's the thing. No one is.
But how long did we wait?
Oh, we waited a good 10 minutes. We even went to the bathroom and came back and they still wasn't ready. And it was just, everybody had an attitude. You know, I was like, okay, whatever.
Right.
I'm not expecting, you know, I don't go to places to expect anything. Even, and this is as a black consumer. If I go, let's say, to Safeway, or if I go to Trader Joe's, or if I go to a black-owned business, I started doing something since I've turned 33 earlier this year. I analyze how the person in front of me got treated. If you're, you know, a cashier or a clerk or the owner, you know, and you're treating them with, like, all these, you know, small talk, the utmost respect, and all this other stuff, and you don't do this to me, or, you know, give me that same type of love, I'm not coming back to your place.
Yeah, what's the point?
You know,
I don't have to give you my dollar.
Exactly.
I don't. It's the same fight I say with black people in this country. It's the economic fight. If you don't like it, you don't have to give them your dollar.
Man, this isn't, you know, and to go on the Church's Chicken, you know, standpoint, like, no one is forcing that person to work there if it's that terrible. Are we not free?
Exactly.
I mean,
I won't be going to that.
Exactly. It's like, okay, you could, if we went back to that Church's Chicken and we got on and did episode 20 of the podcast and we're still complaining about it, you guys as the listeners would be like, why the fuck did you guys go back? You just went on this long tirade about it. It's like, exactly. You can't be stubborn just because you feel like a thing should be a certain type of way. No, we know that Church's is fucked up from the top to the bottom, so we won't be going back. And that serves our asses right for going to Church's in the first place.
Yeah, in the first place.
Still don't mean we could talk shit about it, though. Oh, man.
But I'm glad you're enjoying your time here so far. Finding out this place is really a hidden jewel, if you will.
It is
much shit as people talk.
It's a diamond in the rough, but you have to understand the economic factors that plague this city. You know, so you had the hip-hop mayor. After him was Mayor Dave Bing, and he got resistance from the government. You know, the governor of Michigan and them. You know, that's why they're going through the Flint, you know, crisis with the water, unfortunately, right now. You know, and it's unfortunate because the house is here. All it needs is a little TLC, y'all. $500, $1,000, $15, get your property.
Right. It goes back to what I was saying on the last podcast about if you don't like your circumstance, you can move. You're not stuck anywhere. As cheap as these houses are out here, this could be a black Mecca. It's freaking 80% black here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but, you know, I mean, it is going to take fresh eyes. Like Sister Garland said it last week to me. It's going to take people like us with fresh eyes who come out here and function like a foreigner, you know, because you're not used to just being here and looking at it and not caring. You come in here, you see opportunity. And that's exactly what I see, man. There's a lot of cheap houses. You can get you some couple properties you know, rent out a couple of them. You don't, boom, you don't have to work now.
Shout out to Dr. Garland, the book you wrote. I told you we will be discussing that next year whenever you have your forum. It's an excellent book, y'all. It's called The Unhappy Wife. Check it out if you can. It's, you know, even if you don't like to read, it's easy to read. I was done with it in like a day. Like, it goes by fast. It's only like 110 pages.
Okay.
But there is a lot of people, black people in general, black people, you want change. This is the perfect opportunity right now. Reinvest into a city that has a lot of black people.
Right.
You know, that's the only way you're going to see change. Like, I was just telling Dave as we were driving around, I only saw like one or two, mechanic shops. I seen a few smog shops but everybody else, how many people did we see fixing their own cars, helping out their neighbor, you know, like rolling up their sleeves and just doing it themselves?
They're getting it in.
Getting it in. You know, so every city has its, you know, fucked up areas. Every city has, you know, bad things. Like, so even my city, I'm from San Francisco. I've been shot at, stabbed, robbed, jumped. But, you know, it's not, you know, San Francisco does a good job of trying to hide that type of stuff.
Oh, yeah, because you can't mess up that tourist dollar.
Yeah, even tourists are getting robbed at the Crooked Hill now. And then it's like they got undercover cops to just wait there for tourists to get robbed eventually.
Right.
Because, you know, it attracts so many, you know, tens of millions of visitors each year.
Yeah.
I mean, crime is always going to be in big cities. There's nothing you can do about that, you know. It's always going to be there.
Yeah, but again, if you don't like your circumstances, what can you do? Leave, goddamn it.
But yeah, let me talk a little bit about my trip. I'm never flying Frontier again. Fuck you, Frontier. Okay, Frontier gets you because their prices for the flights are hella cheap, and then you have to check in. You have to pay for your carry-on. If you don't pay for it online, if you pay for it online, it's $35. At the gate, it's $40, and they only accept credit card. They don't accept cash, even for the snacks on the plane.
You know what?
It's credit card. Everything is credit card, okay? So, yeah, I do that. I check in. You know, go through TSA. TSA, cool. You know, getting felt up. Actually, the girl who felt me up at TSA, she was attractive. It wasn't the lady that I remember when I told you a few podcasts ago. Yeah, she was a nice Carrie Hilson looking thing. So, get to my flight. You know, I had to go from San Francisco to Denver, Denver to Detroit, and the T-man got him a number. That's right. I ain't coming home empty-handed, Detroit. Y'all better watch out.
The T-man's on the prowl.
I'm on the prowl. Got me a number. Sitting next to ladies, mingling. 3 o'clock in the morning, Mountain Standard Time. Getting it in.
Oh, that's man. Right. Mixing it up.
Yeah, but Frontier, the flights, their seats don't recline, and my back is all fucked up right now. But
thanks, Frontier.
Oh my God, Frontier, you guys suck. The snacks wasn't that bad though.
What kind of snacks?
They had this. It's called the Pilot Special. It's $3.99. You get three water crackers, a fun size pack of M&Ms, a beef jerky, and also some white cheddar cheese. It's cream and it is hella good. So I
stuck. How much?
$3.99.
I don't think I'm mad at that.
I wasn't that mad. Their prices for their snacks wasn't that bad. Like, two sodas was, what, $5? I was like, okay, I can do that for airport, you know. The T-man bought a few drinks, you know, for other people. Because it was like, you know, 1 in the morning because I flew a red eye.
Right.
Get to Denver, and it was just beautiful women everywhere. I almost missed my flight.
Shout out to Denver.
Hey, is Denver the first dinosaur?
The last dinosaur. And a whole lot more.
Oh, man. Yeah, Denver Denver was nice. It's a beautiful airport. Detroit's a beautiful airport. San Francisco, our airport fucking sucks. I'm sorry, it sucks. But, yeah, saw a lot of great sights today, man. Ready for tomorrow, going to the zoo, going to see all the, you know.
You're going to love the penguin exhibit.
I better.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a bird man.
Yeah.
I'm going to be asking hella questions, too. I'm like, yeah, where's your lead ornithologist at? Yeah, I'm asking hella questions.
Where's the lead?
I'm like, what's Michigan State bird? How come I don't see any birds of prey around here?
Too many squirrels running around.
Fuck, man. Even Detroit is 80% black. Even the mammals are like all the squirrels I saw were black or brown.
Right.
I got some red bone squirrels and shit.
I love melanin field.
Mulatto colored squirrels.
Squirrels get to crack it.
Yeah, but I'm happy, man. I haven't been on vacation in 5 years, so.
Damn, 5 years?
Yeah. I work too much or I'm with the kids, so gotta get starting to learn how to do what I wanna do.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. And I can see why you trying to get real gluttonous.
Oh yeah, I've been eating everything, man. Dave just made some the Pillsbury crescents. You know, the ones that take like 7 minutes. Man, we put all kind of seasonings on those shits.
All kind of flavorings. Talking about allspice, cinnamon sugar, put butter on it, then put it back in the oven.
And then,
he put some honey on his.
I'm over here just, eating all the bad stuff. I'm doing everything I'm not supposed to do. I drank some soda, ate some pork, and I don't eat, that's not me, but I'm fucking up right now. I don't care. I deserve this shit. I feel like a white woman dieting on her cheat day or something. That's, I don't give a fuck. It's my cheat day. That's how I feel right now.
Oh, shit, man.
Did you, switching gears to sports, did you see John Wall break the Wizards' all-time leading assist record?
I did, and I'm glad he has a individual accolade. It's still free John Wall. He still needs his freedom. I'm glad he has a record, and he can be forever remembered by Wizards lore.
Mm-hmm.
But he still needs his freedom. He doesn't deserve that situation. He still needs out. Hopefully him and DeMarcus Cousins can link up. Maybe him and Anthony Davis.
I'm kind of changing on DeMarcus Cousins just because yesterday against the Pelicans, I see him at the outside the key too damn much. You're too damn big. Of course, we know DeMarcus Cousins is a beast down low, but it's, I don't know if it's body, if he's just like, why am I putting my body through this?
It's my laziness.
He just lets people go by him. There was like all five members of the Kings on offense was just at the 3-point line yesterday.
I tell you this, though. I guarantee you he wouldn't do that if he played for Greg Popovich in San Antonio.
Hell nah.
Guarantee you he wouldn't be sitting at the 3-point line all damn day.
Yeah.
Because his ass would be on the bench. You can get away with that when you're with a losing-ass franchise and, you know, you bring in your fourth or fifth newest freaking coach and you're just trying to figure out how to win. And he's probably disgruntled, man. He don't give a damn right now.
Do you think there's a possibility because the Pelicans do not want Anthony Davis to play the center position? They want him to play power forward.
I think that shit is stupid.
It is. Any chance DeMarcus Cousins can link up with Anthony Davis at all?
No, because then they're going to be committing about $200 million in payroll. They're both $100 million players.
Yeah, DeMarcus Cousins' contract is up, in 2018, actually.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's why it's like
he might get.
No, his contract is up next year. He's gonna be a free agent. I think
which
next year
means he's gonna be trade bait.
He's been trade bait. Like
no, I mean they might actually pull the trigger because he's gonna walk. Why would you stay?
Maybe he doesn't want to hurt the
people. Outside of loyalty to the fans or Sacramento.
He does a lot for the community, but, you know, you can do that anywhere. Right. And I'm not sounding like self-righteous.
I can do that shit in Milwaukee.
Right. You know, it's just, I don't know. You know, I know. See, that's the thing. Like, I remember watching Jalen Rose and Jalen and Jacoby show last year, and they were talking about, Jalen Rose was asked a question, when free agents become unrestricted free agents, what matters the most? Is it money or is it like, is there other mitigating factors? Like maybe you like the way the management does things, or maybe you like the way, like how everybody treats you in the front office. Maybe you like the medical staff. They're like, you look at those, but ultimately it's about money 90% of the time.
Yeah.
But that's the thing,
followed
though.
By maybe chances of winning, but that's for certain players, because you got people like Carmelo who didn't give a shit about winning.
As we watch Carmelo's fat ass go up and down the court.
Jab, stab, shoot.
JJS.
Right. And you got people like Josh Smith who took all that money in Detroit a couple years ago and didn't do shit.
Yeah, he's actually
the money.
He's looking to play, and I think he signed in China. That's off. Mm. We're watching the Knicks and the Nets. Every time we do a podcast, the fucking Knicks or the Nets are on. Now they're playing each other at the Garden.
I'm upset that they keep trying to force the Knicks on us, and who cares about the Knicks outside of people from New York? Like, in all seriousness, who cares about the Knicks? But the only people who really love New York like that is people from New York. And people who hate the city that they're from. And I don't want to watch the Knicks all the time. They suck. I don't care about their team or that roster sucks. Mm-hmm. They're not a super team. It's an all convalescent home team. Everybody's,
it's a duct tape team.
It really is. It's silly to have to sit here and watch.
Get your see. This is what I'm talking about. Get back on defense. Whoever, who is that for other Nets? 35. Who just shot? Is that Trevor Booker? Who just thought he was fouled and he go let like everybody ran back on.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong with the NBA. That okay? You go to the hole. You think you get fouled. Everybody's running back. You just look at the ref and throw your hands up in disgust.
Yeah.
Get your punk ass back. And this and it shows you the division of our generation compared to the new generation. You new generation complain about everything. You know, you guys are so anti-alpha male and so anti-tough that this is what you get. You get a whole bunch of these, you know, wimpy guys playing sports who, you know, can't take anything. They can't
and
take
now you got to face the music because you're new president. All those wimpy men in tears yesterday was hella funny.
I was watching a report that some people on Hillary Clinton's staff was like in tears because
I saw those emo dudes with skinny jeans on crying. But no, the NBA, man, I don't know what the hell is going on. Everybody's just, let me look at the ref and complain because I didn't get my foul. I didn't get my justice. And it must not be me that's the problem. It has to be somebody else.
It's not the NBA. It's this new era of sports. Like, these athletes beef on social media now, and it's so hype. It's so girly to me. And I mean that, like, and I fuck that. It's girly. I don't have to fucking clarify that. It is girly. It's something my daughter would do with her friends or something. Like subtweeting and all this other stuff. Like, if you know, come on, man. Like, who does that stuff, man? Like, we some grown ass men out here. Grown men.
Right.
And you over here acting like a little
and
girl.
I'm gonna type in 140 characters and get at you.
Right.
And hashtag it to let you know how
right.
angry I am.
I'm just like, I'm not with that, man. You gotta
hashtag I'm sick of this shit.
Hashtag ugh. Exclamation points. Man, the fuck up though, man. That's what I'm talking about. All this little girl stuff, man.
Hashtag don't make me take it beyond typing.
Hashtag I called insert rapper to try to seize the violence. Get the fuck out of here, man.
Oh, man.
This is the Brooklyn dude got some. I like those black unis. They got some nice white ones, too, with the stars on the side, the old ABA ones.
There's only so much you can do to a black and white uni.
Fucking Jay-Z. Yeah, he fucked that color scheme up for them.
I mean, he's not there anymore. They can blow that shit up and change. They need to blow up this roster shit. Brook Lopez, what do you... You think he should stay in Brooklyn?
No, he's going to get traded.
And sit there and suffer? This shit is suffering.
Brook Lopez, I can see Brook Lopez probably in. Let me see. Who will be a good fit for him? Charlotte will be a good fit for him.
If you personally were stuck out somewhere, like, say, the Brooklyn Nets, would you stick it out and want to try to figure out ways to win, or would you want out?
I don't know. I can't put myself in those positions because I, like, personnel means a lot to me. There might be a fine lady I'm lightweight talking to on the under that works in, you know, the staff, and I might want to be around her. I don't know. I'm just no, I'm just saying, like, I don't know. Like, okay, I'll use my job right now. I'll use my job. I complain a lot about it, and we talked about complaining earlier, and I can easily leave, but I like my coworkers is like family to me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to go and find another family, especially dealing with everything I dealt with this year, because it'll be too traumatic for me to try to go find, you know, because that's who your coworkers are. When you work my type of hours, a split shift, you're away from your family 18, 19 hours out of the day, you know, because when you're off during the middle of the day, everybody's at, you know, school or they're at work or, you know, so your friends are at your job, you're, you know, you basically go through the camaraderie and all that other good stuff. So
you form some really good bonds, so you might not want to leave them.
Yeah, you're going through something together, you know, and I've had opportunities to leave, but, you know, in America, it's like, if I leave a certain situation, it's got to be for a better situation. I'm not going to leave my job to go to another job that's a lateral jump. Like, especially if it's lateral and pay and I have to start over, there's no point of doing that.
You know what I wish? I wish
that blue collar people was like free agents.
Yeah, I wish like jobs traded you and shit. And,
like Indeed.com. Like,
yeah, that would ensure you would you know, not have attitudes and act like assholes at work and treat people like shit in the customer service industry or retail or anything. Oh, man. Like if you knew that predicated on your performance, you might be dealt to some city you don't care about. And have to pack all your belongings, just like the NBA or the NFL.
I wish we had bird rights when you work at a company, but that would be hella. Speaking of bird rights, I forgot to tell you, the Kings can't offer DeMarcus Cousins the most amount of money because they drafted him and they do have his bird rights. So when he does become an unrestricted free agent, they're going to be able to give him probably $20 to $30 million more.
I want him to leave anyway.
Oh, shit. I didn't know you was there. What's up, Paul? Let's get the files off to kick you, man. Paul's in the building, fresh off of work from McDonald's.
Whack on
her. Could be the meanest burger in the world.
Oh.
But yeah, I think that would be kind of cool. Like if, you know, if you're in HR and you work at, you know, and you're like, okay, we need a, you know, we need a temp. And you go to the, you know, like the temp pool and you kind of draft him like first round, second pick, like Thomas Baker, you know, that'd be kind of cool.
Oh, shit.
What happened?
No, just thinking about that scenario. Oh. Like get drafted to your dream job.
You wouldn't know what to do.
Then your performance wanes and then you're on the trading block.
You know what's funny is, we have a problem in America with just work in general. You have, on the employer's fault, they do not know what they're doing. They don't want to listen to the people that work under them. They try to bully people. They sexually harass a lot of their people, and they're inept.
Mm-hmm.
Factor that in when, you know, you have people who get hired for a job who basically put their best makeup on. And I mean that, you know, figuratively and literally, because when you go to a job interview, you're not going to show up, you know, with your hair not combed. You're not going to show up with, you know, like facial hair all over the fucking place. You're not going to show up without makeup on. So you put your best makeup on and you're going to tell
people. You're going to say all the right answers. You're a people person all of a sudden.
Yeah. And then, you know, 2 months into the job, you're getting complaints, you know, as an employee, you know. You bring your problems from home. You somehow blame the employer that it's, you know, it's their fault that you can't find a babysitter. You know, it's a two-way street, but I do have to side 100. I do have to side more with the employee, though, because, you know, it's a business. And a lot of people in middle management, they've never been in situations where they have to manage people and they get a certain amount of power and they abuse it.
Yeah.
Power
corrupts.
They don't know what to do with it. They, you know, everybody has their favorites, and what they'll do is they'll try to make these internal competitions. And black professionals know what I'm talking about in the workplace. You already have a target on your back because you might know more than your manager, but you know, you're black. They're going to take all your ideas. You know, you can't do the same thing that your white or Asian counterparts can. You can't come in late. You can't come in, you know, to work and cry that your ex-husband just cheated on you and all this other stuff. You can't do that. So a lot of people that talk about equality and fairness, they, you know, they pass the buck on those type of situations.
And that's why I'm a big advocate on black people supporting each other and supporting their own businesses, because with that said, you can turn around and start your own company. And if you stick to your own, like all the other races do, and I mean like all the, I watch Asians do it, I watch Latinos do it, Arabs, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they put their money together, they work together, and they make it happen. And then, you know, they buy up businesses, they buy up whole city blocks sometimes. And I don't want to hear that we can't do it, because it's entirely possible, but we don't do business with each other. We barely even talk to each other on a regular basis.
And it's not even, when we break down the meat and potatoes of support, it doesn't even have to be financial. It could be emotional support. Yeah. Like if you're starting a business, let's say you need help distributing flyers, or you know, you need some, you know, you need some lunch brought to you, or you know, you just need somebody to talk to. That support is also lacking within our community. That no, everybody thinks support is financial. It's not. We need emotional support as well, considering the type of trauma that most of us go through on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I was listening to NPR, and they were talking about a story about this guy called Mr. Fries, man. And
sounds interesting.
Yeah, he makes all these different kind of fries and with all kind of toppings. It's pretty cool.
Ooh.
And
is he here in Detroit?
I don't. It's in California, somewhere near LA, I believe.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, he got all kind of toppings on him, and he got real popular, and he has a friend that helps him for free, just because he really believes in his vision. And he said it himself. I mean, they interviewed him and everything. He was like, man, I just really believe in this dude, and I think he's going to go somewhere with this. And, yeah, I'm going to help him. I mean, he can't sit here and do all this himself. And I loved it. It was two brothers.
I give you a great example. They say never work for free. I have to 80% agree with that. 20% of it, I had a friend who just moved. I told him I'll help him. You know, if you need help on a weekend, I could take the seats out of my van. He had only just a little bit of stuff. He asked me, how much am I going to charge him? Nothing. You're my friend. Why am I going to charge you? You need help.
Right.
He still gave me like $40, but it was like I wasn't even expecting that. I went to go pick my other friend up from the airport when she got back from Hawaii. She's like a sister to me. She left $20 in my, you know, in my glove compartment. I'm like, I don't do this for money. Like, I'm here to help you.
Yeah. Because sometimes people need a boost.
Like I you know, the word friend gets thrown around a lot too much nowadays. And I think, you know, social media plays a part in that. You know, you can have 800-900 friends, but you probably only talk to 3-4 of them on a day-to-day basis or on a week-to-week basis.
But you talk about all the so-called friends on social media.
Yeah, you create a kind of fake atmosphere of what human interaction is.
Right.
Did you see
hashtag besties
twinsies? You know what we should do? We should take stepbrother shirts. We should take pictures like in stepbrothers.
Actually, I was trying to Photoshop something, but I don't have the proper Photoshop software. I was trying to do it through an app on my phone.
How about we just
almost did it. I was pretty close, but it was pretty rough, so I just left it alone.
Check this out, homeboy. This is what we gonna do. We'll go down to the Goodwill. The Goodwill is about 3 miles down from your house. We'll get 2 Argyle sweater vests, and we're going to take pictures of them.
Look. Oh, man.
That's just one of many voices I can do, too.
Which could work, too.
What else is new? Steph Curry broke the record a few nights ago. not impressed.
I'm not impressed because he did it against the Pelicans. Like, but if you did it against like the Blazers or some kind of, like, if you did it against the Cavs or something, or some kind of contender, then I would care. I just hate our fan base so much.
They can't see weakness. They can't see any, like, bad. You can't say anything bad to these New Age fans. Oh, you're a hater. You don't know what you're talking about. Right. Steph is the GOAT. Like, Steph got punked. What are you talking about?
Right, and that's why on my top 9 point guards list, I moved him from first to fourth. And I should have let you drop further because them finals performances and all that soft-ass crying and all that.
John Wall should have been higher.
Yeah,
he doesn't get enough credit.
He doesn't. And actually, I should have put him up higher. And I apologize to you, John Wall. Jonathan.
Johnson, listen.
No, seriously, because he has a lot on his plate and a lot on his shoulders, and he has to carry a whole franchise on his back. Yeah, thanks to certain.
What are these? What does it say?
I don't have a driver's license, so they kicked me away with the alcohol, so I'm going to go back because my driver's license is in that thing.
Wow. Oh. Everybody, we have official the Couch Sports mugs, beer steins, chalices, and it's see-through at the bottom, too. Look, it's see-through at the bottom.
I'm about to get drunk.
Me, too.
What's the good stuff?
Banana cognacs.
Man, this is an occasion. Look at this.
And we're going to barbecue sticks and have salad on the grill when you guys are done.
Let's go home. No.
Somebody call Erica Badu. Why? Because it's a wrap. Look at this, man. It's clear. And it's heavy. It could kill somebody with this.
Got my initials on this joint. This is dope as fuck.
The couch. This is awesome. Teb. Those are my initials. Teb.
How do you know she knew your middle name?
Because you call me EGY all the time.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
What's your Dima? Dima.
All right, Dima. Dima's a diva.
Dima's microphone got studded rhinestones. Look at these, man.
This is dope as fuck.
Man, so that was her surprise, huh?
Yeah, that was all worried about where the hell.
Yeah, because she just is like, she hella, like, dropped us off and just like.
Shout out to Keish, the greatest woman alive right now.
This is awesome. We're not gonna tell her we ate the
crust. I actually left her two in the microwave. So.
Oh, because I'm
about to edit all this shit out.
No, I think you should leave it in.
Well, fuck it.
Fuck it, we're going live.
Fuck it, we're going live. Fuck it.
Ah, what a gift.
The gift that keeps on giving.
That was awesome. I thought she came into here like she had bad news, though. She came, walked up hella quietly, and it just...
Actually, I was kind of hoping she had snacks, but this is great. This is even better. This is the
Snack week continues. She brought snacks! She brought snacks! What are these? Like, look at these Oreos!
They're white chocolate Oreos.
Let's go home, ladies and gentlemen.
They got snacks.
Let's go home. Y'all have a good night.
We got snacks.